Thank you, Luke. And good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Before we begin our sermon for this morning, let me wish all the mothers a very happy and a prosperous Mother's Day. And I trust that all your sons and all your daughters will honor you this day in a very special way. And to all the children here this morning, both young and old, let me encourage you to honor your mothers. They are more influential in molding your character and instilling in you love not only for God, but also for others, more than anyone else this side of heaven. God has a very special place in his heart for mothers, because he designed them to be channels of blessing, not only to their children, but to their husbands as well. The Bible tells us that she is a gift to us, and as such needs to be loved, cherished, honored, and given her rightful place of honor. And families who give their moms that special place in their home will flourish spiritually. And so with those thoughts in mind, I would like for us to look at how the scriptures present one certain mother in Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, and the same account in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. These will serve as our main text for this morning's message. So if you have your Bibles handy, would you please turn with me, first of all, to Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, and then we'll read the other passage. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21, right through to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, and he is answering this to the disciples, not to the woman, by the way. And he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 24 to 30. Mark chapter 7, 24 to 30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And may God grant us the wisdom and the grace to understand the passages before us. But before we begin, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee so much for this precious opportunity to gather together once again as thy people and to open the holy pages of thy scriptures and to study these texts about this Syrophoenician woman, how the Lord had compassion on her. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God might so move our hearts and our minds this morning that we might relate to this passage and see what it has in store for us, so that we too, in some fashion or other, might apply it to our hearts and our lives. For we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory. Amen. I've entitled the message for this morning, A Mother's Prayer. A Mother's Prayer. It seemed to be a fitting title for the sermon because what we have here before us is a most beautiful description of a mother's love and devotion to and for her ailing daughter and her unswerving faith in the Savior's ability to heal her daughter, as demonstrated through her prayer. And so as we begin our text in Matthew 15:21, we read that Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He did not go into those two cities, but rather to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, we're told. Now, Tyre and Sidon were ancient cities, ports of Phoenicia, or as we know it today, Syria. They were on the Mediterranean Sea coast, about 20 miles apart from each other. They were north of Jerusalem and almost directly west of Damascus. And so we see our Lord leaving the loathsome company of the Pharisees and going as far as he could away from them without leaving his own country. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24, we are told that he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. No matter where our Lord went, needy souls were sure to find him and to pursue him. Believing hearts always yearn for Jesus and go often to great extents and lengths and much difficulty to reach him. It was no different here. We read further on in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 25 to 26, that a certain woman, a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now she, we understand by the term Syrophoenician, was an inhabitant of the northern part of Phoenicia called Syrophoenicia because of its proximity to Syria, and also because of its adoption by conquest into that kingdom. Now Matthew 16:22 calls her a woman of Canaan in respect to her nationality. She was a descendant of Canaan. So she was not a Jewess. She had no claim to the one who was called the Son of David. She was a Gentile and a woman. Her chances of meeting with this Jesus of Nazareth were at best slim. But there was something much more significant to this woman from Canaan, something that the Son of God himself valued and was pleased to grant honor to. She was a mother, and as a mother, her loving heart was moved to find Jesus so that he would heal her daughter, who, say the scriptures, was grievously vexed with a devil. Matthew 15:22. There is perhaps no more frightening situation to be in all of this life, than to be, as the scripture puts it, vexed with the devil. Demon possession is a most violent and a cruel affliction to suffer. We get a glimpse of this horrible affliction from Mark's account of the demoniac of the Gadarenes in Mark 5, verses 1 to 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Demon possession is still prevalent in the world today. Countless thousands and hundreds of thousands in our twin countries of Canada and the United States of America have this awful affliction. It is often diagnosed incorrectly. The patient is put into psychiatric wards, sedated and isolated, but there is no cure for them because it is a spiritual problem. There has been involvement somewhere along the line in the occult in some manner or other. And as such, the matter needs to be addressed by the only one who has power over such things, the Son of God himself. So-called medical treatments and psychological counseling does nothing for the patient in such a state. He or she remains a danger both to himself and to society and must therefore be permanently isolated. But as we return to our text, we see that this poor woman, when she found Jesus, cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Please notice her first words addressed to the Savior. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." The Bible tells us in Psalm 147:11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." And Psalm 136:1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." No sinner has ever found favor with the Lord without seeking first his mercy. Though she was a Gentile and a stranger to the Jewish God, yet in her soul there was a kindling faith that drew her to Jesus. Her love for her daughter drove her to bended knees in prayer and weeping, crying out to God, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Oh, see the preciousness of a mother's love for her child. A mother's love does not care if others are offended by its cries for mercy. A mother's love does not care if one's respect and reputation is lost. It does not matter to a mother's love if obstacles are too great to overcome. What does matter is that that love must be allowed to make its way into the heart of God, who is merciful and gracious to all. There isn't a mother alive anywhere who genuinely loves her children who wouldn't walk through open flames with her sick child in her arms if she believed that a cure was on the other side. Oh, let me address the older children who are sitting here this morning. Some of you are no longer very young. Most of you are quite mature in age. But if you still have mothers who are alive, honor them. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And Ephesians 6:1 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." God has programmed the mother to love her children in a way that no one else can love them. Now, sometimes the devil destroys that love by distorting her circuits through false teachings and doctrines. And we need to be vigilant and not let that happen. But a mother's heart is naturally disposed to loving her children, to providing for her children, to protecting her children. And when a mother becomes a believer, her heart then becomes a praying heart. She prays day and night for her children's welfare and safety and health. Oh, if only children could grasp how important it is to obey their mothers and to love them back just as intensely. What a wonderful world this would be. As we return to our main text, we see that Jesus, in verse 23, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now this at first glance seems to be a most discouraging response from the Savior. He answered her not a word. Oh, dearly beloved, have you ever gone to the Savior in prayer in your time of dire need and have met with silence from the Almighty? Do not despair, but learn of this Syrophoenician mother. She did not quit. She did not give up. She continued to cry after him, for she knew who he was. She had called him Lord, owning him to be deity with power over all creation. She called him Son of David, owing him to be the Messiah, and therefore, as the Messiah, he would surely grant her mercy. Our Lord's disciples were, it seems, embarrassed, for they asked of our Savior to send her away because she cried after them. Oh, how mistaken they were. She did not cry after them. She cried after him. She cried unto the only one whom she knew had the power to help her child. If he would but grant her mercy, she would be sure to find healing for her daughter. Her faith would not let go of him. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In verse 24 of Matthew's gospel, we read further that though Jesus answered his disciples and not the woman when he said, "I'm not sent but unto the sheep of the house of Israel," yet would he not send her away, because it was for such wretched souls as this that the Savior came to seek and to save. He would remain true to his calling and in no wise cast her out that cometh to him. Nevertheless, how these words must have hurt her. She knew that she was not of the house of Israel. She knew that she would not be numbered amongst the sheep and that he was not sent to her. Yet she pursued him with greater pleading. She came nearer to him and fell at his feet and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Though the text is silent on this matter, I will nonetheless hazard a guess that this mother's tender eyes, filled with tears from pleading for her daughter, they caught the Savior's loving glance as he spoke to her for the first time. "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it onto dogs." "Truth, Lord," was her reply. She did not contradict the Master. "Truth, Lord, I know that I am but a dog, not worthy of the least of thy mercies. I know that I am a sinner, such as I have no claim to thee. But even dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." "Just a crumb would satisfy me, Lord, just a crumb." Does it not put us to shame of our feeble prayers to the Savior when we see the travail of this mother's heart? what she sought was to her a great blessing, but in light of the Lord's great bounty, it was but a crumb. Our Savior loves great faith and grants it whatever it desires. This was a Gentile woman who knew very little of the Savior, but her faith was a most surprising faith, for it believed in a silent Christ, in one who seemed to treat her with a rebuff, in one who calls her a dog, yet she believed that he would cure her daughter at once. And so she clung to him, pleading, "Lord, help me." Notice the reward of such a prayer and such a faith, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Mark's gospel in chapter 7, 29, 30 completes the story. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. When our will conforms to the will of Christ our Lord, then the desire of our hearts will be granted. Those who deny Christ nothing shall find that he too will deny them nothing in the end as well, even though at first it may seem that he is hiding his face from them. And when we come, as this mother did, to pray against Satan and his kingdom, we can be sure that Christ will grant our prayers. And though Satan may sift us as he did Peter, and buffet us as he did Paul, yet through prayer and Christ's intercession and the sufficiency of his grace, we shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, verses 35 to 39 reminds us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And so we come to the end of our text for this morning. But before I step down from this platform, I would like to address each of the mothers here this morning. Mothers, you cannot possibly know how much you mean to the happy functioning of the Christian home. You have a special place in the heart of God as a mother. You have a God-given capacity to love your children and your husband as no one else can. Do it always with joy as unto the Lord, because there is no greater calling, no greater job, no greater responsibility this side of heaven than to carry out your motherhood. And now just a word to the husbands and to the fathers here this morning. Husbands, love your wives. If you love them the way the scriptures command us to, it makes their job so much easier. The greatest thing, fathers, that you can do for your children is to love their mother and show them how to give her a place of honor in your home. And to the older children in the assembly this morning, if your mothers are still alive, obey your mothers. Carry out her requests, however trivial they may seem to you. She is God's gift to you as you are to her. And the most wonderful gift that a child could possibly give to a mother is the answer to her prayers, that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and that you will spend all of eternity with her in His glorious presence. But if perchance there is just but one here this morning who has never yet fully yielded his or her life to the Savior, I urge you, while there is still time to do so, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, how can we ever thank thee for mothers, godly mothers, who have cared for us, who have prayed for us, who have nurtured us, and often have died for us, day in and day out, because of our disobedience to them. Forgive us, Lord, and for those who still have mothers, show us, Lord, how we can best honor them, not only today, but all the days of our lives, so that it might be well with us. And that we, through that simple demonstration of love for our mothers, may be able to win others for Christ. Part us now with thy blessings, we pray, and if the Lord be not come, may it please thee once again to bring us together around his table next Lord's Day. For we ask it all in his name and for his glory. Amen.
Steve, if you don't mind.
Kids, would you hand out the...